I know what it is not to have a job. I know what it is to worry about food and rent. I know about those things. My kids' generation doesn't know that. I was urging them to look around and see how tremulous, with what jeopardy we all live in. We're at Mother Nature's behest, and that's why learning to do something is of extreme importance.
You're listening to Business Lunch with Roland Frazier. This is your seat at the table.
Welcome to the show. We have something a little different for you today. William Shatner is a Canadian actor, author, producer, director, screenwriter, and singer. And in his 7 decades of acting, Shatner became a cultural icon for his portrayal of Captain Kirk of the USS Enterprise in the Star Trek franchise. Now, if you're listening, you probably knew that already, but in this heavy time of COVID-19 and lockdowns, we thought it would be a welcome bright spot to interview this legend. So be sure to share this episode with your friends and leave us an honest review on Apple Podcasts. So here is Roland and William Shatner.
How are you doing?
Really well. We're all healthy. My whole family, 15 members of my family in the Los Angeles area, are all well.
That's fantastic. And I see that you're active on Twitter and letting people know to stay in and all those kinds of good things.
Oh, have they been playing that? That's good.
That's fantastic. I love it. So I figured it'd be kind of fun to have a chat with you and share what you're up to. And
very good.
I'm excited to have you here. So tell me a little bit about what's going on with your quarantining and self-isolation right now.
Well, the drama of my quarantining is what I had done just prior to quarantining. I was on tour in front of an audience in Europe. I was doing 9 cities in Europe. And as this thing gathered momentum, I was apprehensive that they might cancel some or all of the 9 cities. And what happened was I set out, and I had sold out audiences everywhere.
I saw every that. That was fantastic.
It was fantastic. Every theater that we had booked within hours of the theater announcing that I was coming, they sold out. So I did Glasgow and Dublin to sold out audiences. And then I was on my way to Holland, to Amsterdam. They canceled. And then I was going to do Prague, and then they canceled. So that gave me 2 days, and I was next booked in London at the Apollo Theater, which was sold out, 3,500 people. Yep. And I'm alone in a hotel room waiting for those 2 days. I'm quarantining myself, and I'm there 2 days. And then on the Monday that I'm to appear, Boris Johnson says, instead of herd immunity, we're now telling everybody no more than 50 people. And I'm like on my way to the theater.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I didn't know whether there would be 3,500 people waiting for me or nobody. And when I arrived at the theater, there were 2,000 people in the theater.
Oh, my gosh.
Who, going against the advice of their prime minister, wanted to see me, which I did. There was a love fest. Everybody was weeping. And the theater in Wales canceled. That was Monday night. Canceled for Tuesday night. So I got out of Heathrow a day earlier. There was nobody at Heathrow. There was literally nobody at Heathrow.
Wow.
On the British Airways plane to Los Angeles, there was like half a plane and nobody in first class. And then they cursorily examined me getting off the plane. I made it home. They closed down Heathrow and they closed down the Los Angeles airport. If I hadn't gotten out a day earlier, I might have been like one of those unfortunate people who couldn't get home. So I am, totally ensconced with my wife and my dogs, and we're making the best of it, this being one of the best things. And we're suffering along with everybody else.
So tell me, in terms of business, what are you doing now? I know you've got The Unexplained, right, which is in its second season.
Well, I've got a show that seems to have hit. They've ordered a second season, a lot of shows, the second season. And when's the time to film them? And I've got all kinds of other things going on.
I love that about you.
This tour, for example, has been interrupted, and there are other business things that I'm doing. Most of what I do nowadays is appear in front of an audience, and that's restricted now. So the challenge is, what do I do until we're allowed to gather in more than two people? Because
right.
Two people, although that's sufficient to make an audience, is not quite worth a trip to to wherever you are.
Now, are you doing a lot of virtual things now, or can you appear virtually? How are
I've been doing some public service announcements about staying cool and clean, and I shoot those with one cameraman with a long lens, and the microphone is played. I don't get out of my car. We shot this in the parking lot of my office. I got out of my car. I sat down in the seat. I was 15 feet from the cameraman. He had cards for me to read. I read those and got into my car with my two dogs. And I waved goodbye. And I never came into contact with anything or anybody. And then, of course, wiped my hands with the alcohol. And so we're doing really well.
Great. Now, was The Unexplained, was that something that you decided you want to do? Or was that something that came to you with the idea? Or what got you involved in that?
Well, The Unexplained, which is on Saturday night at 10 o'clock on the History Channel, is a figment of Kevin Burns' imagination. He is also producing Ancient Aliens and The Curse of Oak Island. Mm-hmm. So there's this mystical thing that he has going. I call it the Ooga Booga. It's the Ooga Booga factor that is fascinating to me, because The Unexplained is all about mysteries that we human beings observe and have no explanation. Now, there is an explanation, but mm-hmm. we just don't know it. Mm-hmm. And every so often, an unexplained mystery becomes explained. We go, wow, that's wild. And then that only leads to another mystery of how did that happen? So there are buildings, and there are events, and there are people's experiences that have no explanation, but just, you know, the event itself becomes so mysterious and so interesting.
Right.
So its ratings are getting higher and higher. I'm very proud of the show. We shoot it really well. And The Unexplained, 10 o'clock on History.
You have a favorite of those that have been on so far? I see that he's cleverly interweaving, because there was one on the Oak Island Curse. So he's moving that together. Well done.
Spoken like a producer. Yes. In fact, Kevin took me out to Oak Island on a chartered airplane. We had monumental amounts of sushi, and he took me, and we didn't quite know what I was going to do, but then I gathered around what they call the war table. And in my fashion, love to hear about people and talk to people and understand people. So they had numerous cameras on me. And I began to talk to these people about what do they do and how do they do it. And it turns out it was a whole hour that was a big hit, because I got all these lovely people with strange backgrounds talking about what they were doing. Because that show is more about the lust for treasure than yes. it is finding treasure.
Right. That's interesting. We've had treasure hunters as clients before when I was practicing law, and it was really quite an interesting cast of characters that those guys are.
I once had an idea. I don't know whether you and I ever talked about it, about a competition, underwater competition for looking for treasure. We never talked about it.
No, I love it.
I had a really good idea. I don't want to say what the idea is now.
Okay.
But it was worthwhile. It was a competition that involved a lot of young, presumably pretty people.
I love it. I know that last time we had dinner was in Dallas, as I recall, and we were wending our way through a selection of scotches and things like that. What are you doing to entertain yourself on the spirits and wines side there while you're confined?
Well, my wife, I've always known she's a good cook. When she puts her mind to it, she's really, it becomes inspirational. So she's been having nothing else to do to put her mind to making a really good, non-inflammatory meal.
Nice.
And I've lost, I don't know how much weight, but the way I know that it's working is my sinuses are clear. You know how you kind of snort and all that kind of thing?
Uh-huh.
Because there's a low-grade inflammation in all our bodies. yep. due to the sugar and the wheat that we eat, or the pollen in the air, or a combination of all that. If we were to follow a strict non-inflammatory diet, we'd be healthy beyond belief. Well, Liz is making non-inflammatory meals, but also meals that have within it immunity-boosting elements like okay. ginger and saffron and all those kinds of good things. So involved in the meal are the beneficiary herbs that mankind has known about since the dawn of humanity. They've been selecting herbs to do something or other with, which we've all forgotten because we've got all this highfalutin medicine that takes care of it and does for a while. But the bacteria and now the viruses build up an immunity or change, and then we start to lose the war. But these ancient remedies involving garlic and honey and pulses and internal things are a natural enemy to the enemy that is trying to destroy us.
That's true. That's true. And any wines or spirits accompanying those wonderful meals?
Well, there are, but they're all turning bad. I got some great vinegar that you might want to use.
That's fine.
We had some wine the other day, and it turned bad. It's nothing worse than vinegar wine.
That is true. Well, you'll have to let me know if you're still drinking La Serena or whatever. We'll send you some. I have. Absolutely.
As a result of this conversation, do. You know, what I also wanted to mention when I thought what a good idea would be to talk to you is the concept that this morning, for example, in the news, it looks like you could see the shadow of the beginning of the end.
Yes.
What was the great phrase? It's the end of the beginning. It's not the beginning of the end, but it's the end of the beginning. Statistics are coming out. Maybe there's a leveling off. The staying apart is working, and keep it up, because Hong Kong did let it go and they came back and now they're going to go back. All of that. But what I'm consumed with is that this seems to be a dress rehearsal for the coming of the real event, which
right.
is global warming.
Right.
And the world has to get together. Humanity has to involve all of the technology to do a Manhattan Project, which is the way yep. the atomic bomb was made, on getting the carbon dioxide and methane out of the atmosphere and getting us to the goals that the scientists tell us we have to have. This pandemic is a rehearsal for the world getting together. And the fact that some of the nations are not cooperating in being together
right.
and having started to part us prior to this, the whatever the phrase is, the pigeons have come back to roost. We're suffering and will continue to suffer the effects of mankind realizing we're all in this together. The pandemic, and then whatever other pandemics appear along the road, and we're releasing more and more viruses that didn't need to be released because we're going further and further into areas of the ground that weren't meant to be lived in, that the hosts of those viruses are happy enough in their environment. We open the environment up, the hosts die, and the viruses seek another host, which is us. But all that will fade by comparison to the Holocaust that's coming with the flooding, and the fires, and the storms. Mother Nature is angry with us, and we need to soothe her.
What do you think, what are you involved with on that, and what do you think people can do to make a difference?
Well, you know, like we're seeing now, that the individual just staying 6 feet, 12 feet away, stay in your homes, has had an enormous effect on saving maybe millions of lives. Every individual counts. Every individual within the sound and the sight of my voice and face and yours needs to amplify. We need to do the opposite with this message of staying inside and not doing anything. We need to spread the word politically, visually, audibly. You need to tell. Every citizen needs to tell their representative. This is no hoax. This is not a hoax. This pandemic is not a hoax. We now know
that
global warming is not a hoax. And it's coming. And it's coming faster than we think. And we have a limited time, if any, by the way, to avoid the tipping point.
I love it. Yeah, I think it's the what every one little thing that every one person does has an impact, and collectively it can be massive, right?
Exactly. Like we're seeing it happen. I think everybody, the world, should pat themselves on the back, although with my tight shoulders, it's very difficult to say, I did something about, I was told 3 weeks ago, I was in front of 2,000 people entertaining them, okay? And we were having a good time. 3 weeks later, I can't come out of my house.
Right.
I was this international entertainer touring Europe, and I'm now ensconced in 3 weeks. Actually, within 2 or 3 days, I was imprisoned in my home. The change of events, I just said, because we communicate by this manner with my family, yesterday I said to my kids, to the young ones, you can see what an education means.
Yeah.
That things, this generation has been brought up on a lot of luxury. Talking now about the people of the United States, there was the Great Depression that my parents were involved in and that I had echoes of when I was growing up. And I grew up not in poverty, but very tight. And then I starved as an actor for years. I know what it is not to have a job. I know what it is to worry about food and pay and rent. I know about those things. My kids' generation doesn't know that.
Right.
They, with all the benefits that I can bring them, but also the benefits that the government can bring them, they don't know what it is to live on the streets. Of course, there are people who do know that, but my family doesn't know that. I was urging them to look around and see how tremulous, with what jeopardy we all live in. We think we're inured. We're not. We're at Mother Nature's behest. And an education is inside your head. And short of losing your head in a revolution, you retain the education. And that's why learning to do something is of extreme importance.
It's such a
critical
great
importance.
Is there anything you're focused on learning right now?
I am.
I'd love to hear.
You should ask. So my kids gave me, and I won't say the names, I don't need to give them any free advertising, but you buy this thing, or they bought it for me as a birthday gift, and you can take lessons on anything. The subjects matter are enormous. So I just listened to a lecture the other day on the Olympics, how the Olympics started, where the Olympics went, all that. And now I'm taking self-defense courses on the telephone. And I don't go, and you know, because I've got to hold the phone. So I'm not making the jabs the way she's teaching, but I'm doing shoulders. So like I'm learning.
I love it.
Self-defense redux.
One last thing I want to ask about, and then I'll let you go. Tell me what's going on with horses. Are you able to see your horses during this time?
Here's what I've done. I get in my car, and I'm isolated in my car. Mm-hmm. I go to this barn where my horses are, and one person prepares the horse, then stands aside 10, 15 feet. I get on the horse. I do what I want with the horse, train, and then when I get off the horse, I move away. That person comes and gets it. I get in my car. I wipe my hands down with the alcohol, and I've been in no contact with anybody anywhere. So I'm able to do that because of my personal situation. I don't recommend it to anybody else. Because I don't come into contact with anybody and nobody comes into contact with me, I think that I'm following the rules.
I think you are, absolutely. Now, is the horse show, when is the horse show?
Well, my horse show, the Hollywood Charity Horse Show, was supposed to happen May 30th.
Right.
31st, or 30th. Anyway, the end of May. And of course, it's not. So now I've booked it for October. It will go on in October. I'm hopeful to have the room where we have a party on the Saturday night of the horse show. Mm-hmm. But if I can't get that room, if that room is pre-booked, which it might be, I will either get another room, a tent outside, or I'll book a nearby hotel for a place to have a party for 500 people.
Okay. So you think it's going to be moved to October?
It will. It is definitely on given that we're alive and able to move, gather in October. It will happen in October.
Okay. And then we'll leave everybody with what's the one thing you're most excited about right now?
Getting out of the house.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to be here. I really appreciate you taking the time to do that. And it's wonderful to see you again.
Pleasure to see you. Let me just repeat that in October, the Hollywood Charity Horse Show needs all your help. Take care, everybody.
And will that be the website for that? Can you share that with everybody?
Horseshow.org.
Horseshow.org. Okay. Any other things that you would like for people to know?
That's just stay safe. Fantastic. And this will all end in a comparative near future.
What are you drinking? What can I send you? Because I got all kinds of fun stuff.
Send me a great bottle of red and a great bottle of white.
Okay. You got it. Are you leaning California still?
California, French, anything. A really good wine.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll give it to my wife who's working very hard.
I love it. Well, thanks, Bill. Thank you.
Take care, man. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Business Lunch with Roland Frazier. If you're enjoying the show, let us know by subscribing and leaving a review. And for more information, go to businesslunchpodcast.com. Thank you for listening.
What if 3 days could change the course of your business in 2023? Get Scalable Live is where you'll gain great clarity on the next steps that will help you create the business, life, and wealth you deserve. Connect with business owners and entrepreneurs just like you, hungry for advice, proven strategies, and necessary connections to grow a business.
Literally, million-dollar conversations are happening in the hallways, in the bathrooms, across tables.
Get Scalable Live at Fairmont Austin, November 2nd through 4th. Tickets are on sale now at GetScalableLive.com.